listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program, and we're going through the Bible here, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and we've ended up in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And let's see, about verse 6. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. Paul getting into more personal issues here. And not by his coming only, but by us, by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of this world worketh death. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. And what is the work of repentance? You know, the sorrow. Many people think that the sorrow is the repentance. I feel really bad about that. And they think the feeling, because most people have relegated so much to feelings, when the feelings accompany, you know, like feelings accompany love, and feelings, they're emotions, I should say, that accompany love, emotions that accompany hatred, and there's emotions that accompany repentance. But just having the emotion is not enough. Unless the work accompanies the emotion, then it's just an empty emotion. And many people are hooked on emotions. They just want to feel something. And they wonder why they can't feel something. It's because the works aren't there. And the work is repentance. And that's what Paul says here. For godly sorrow worketh repentance. So repentance is a work. If the work of repentance doesn't follow the godly sorrow, then there is nothing to it. But he says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. So what do you have before salvation? Well, you have godly sorrow, feeling something's wrong, and, you know, I really am sorry that I've done what I've done, and of course that means that I don't want to do that anymore. And then the work of repentance is to do that which is right, and to stop doing that which is wrong. Got 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says that there is no sin that has taken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, or there is no temptation, I should say, has taken you. It's sin when it takes you. But with every temptation, he provides a way of escape. So the work of repentance is looking for the way of escape rather than falling into the same error over and over again, or continuing to practice the error as the world does, because they don't consider it a sin. Well, they delight in their error. They delight in their sin. To them, it's okay to continue to practice it over and over and over, and they have no godly sorrow working repentance because they continue to practice. But if you could continue to practice after you have sorrow over it, then there is no repentance. The repentance is when you're looking for that way of escape that God provides with every temptation. And that, of course, the way of escape is obedience to him. Okay, you don't want me to do this? What do you want me to do? And you get busy about his business instead of the business of whatever it was that you were doing. You know, it's like Yahshua says, if your eye offends you or causes you to sin or causes you to fall into sin, then pluck it out and cast it from you. You know, so it's talking about the stupid TV set and the sitcoms. Don't just sit there and allow your families to watch that stuff. Don't just set that ungodly filth before your eyes. Get up and turn the thing off. That's right. Tell your family, say, this does not honor God. We will not allow this. on the television anymore. But if you can't control it, well, you know, perhaps throw the darn television out. You know, pluck it out. Get rid of it if it causes you to sin. Godly sorrow leads to the work of repentance. Worketh repentance to salvation. And you should be afraid. What will happen if you don't repent? Well, let's look at the sentence here. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For godly sorrow, that's first, worketh repentance, that's second, to salvation, that's third. And that's not to be repented of. Yeah, you don't repent. You know, oh, well, you know what? You know what? The government said that, you know, they took my car away. And you know, I have to go down and now, you know, sign up and make ungodly covenants with the ungodly. And I have to cast in my lot with them and have one purse with them because, well, they persecuted me. So I repent of my repentance. or just the pressure on me was too great. Oh, yes. My family, you know, they couldn't live without watching. Let me try to think of the name of one of those crazy, stupid, ungodly programs on the television set, the sitcoms. You know, Heather Has Two Mom. Oh, no, that's a book that they push in the public school system. Two Men and a Boy or something like that. Some terrible, ungodly programs they have out there, sitcoms. I can't even think of the names of any of them. I haven't allowed them on my television set for so many years that I don't even know them anymore. All I know is that I don't want to watch them. And I certainly don't want my family, especially my children, to see them. But oh, the pressure was too great for my wife and my children, and they just couldn't live without Two Men and a Boy, without watching that program every week. So I repented of not allowing them to watch it. I repented of my godly sorrow that led to repentance. And oops, guess what happens after that? Well, this worketh repentance to salvation. So we're not to repent of our godly sorrow that works repentance because it leads to salvation. He says, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So your choice here is salvation or death. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know, I stood up to my family and my children because I feared what would happen if I didn't take a stand, if I couldn't be a man and say, God's law rules in this household. And we will set no evil thing before our eyes. There are plenty of good things a family can do together. And you know what? When the parents take a stand for godliness and God's law, that's what their children learn to do. That's what your children will learn from you, that you either stood or you capitulated. And you know what? Then when they have children, you know what they'll do? Well, they'll stand if you stood. Or they'll capitulate if you capitulated. Or they may get up and curse you for your cowardice. And they may curse you in hell. When you're all there together, they may curse you for your cowardice in hell. That may be part of your punishment forever, being cursed by your own children. Hell is not going to be a pleasant place. Hell is going to be the withdrawal of everything good. Because remember what the Heavenly Father said? From those who have, more shall be given. And from those who have not, even that which they have shall be taken away. All the good that God gave you, if you don't multiply it, if you don't use it for His kingdom, to increase His kingdom, because His kingdom, all good things come from God, then even that which He gave you will be taken away. No good thing in hell. Hell will be the absence of everything good. And you know what I fear for those that are going there? That it will be the presence of everything evil that they imagined. It will be the presence with the consequences simultaneously of all the evil that they created in their life while they shielded themselves and clothed themselves with the gift of God, that good in their life, and said, I'm a good man. And they attributed all the good that God gave them to themselves. And they stand there before God. I'm a good man. God won't let me go to hell. But they have not added a thing even that which they have, shall be taken away. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You should fear if godly sorrow is not working repentance in your life. You should fear. Work out your fear. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You should fear what will happen to you. Hell, the withdrawal of everything good and the existence only of the evil and the consequences forever. Oh, that's a fearful thought. There's a little hellfire and brimstone for you. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of this world worketh death. The sorrow of this world worketh death. You know, the Esau, scripture says, Jacob I have loved and Esau I've hated. And the scripture says that Esau sought it bitterly with tears, but no place was found for it. Speaking of repentance, he had the sorrow of the world. And I believe that he was sorry because of his immediate loss, because he lost the birthright. He cried. He wept bitterly when Isaac, his father, said, I've already made your brother your master. I have no blessing left for you. I gave everything to your brother Jacob. He was very sorrowful, but there was no place found for repentance, because Jacob I have loved, but Esau I've hated. What was the difference between the two men? Jacob was after God. Jacob's life was about his creator, but Esau's life was only about Esau and his mortal existence. He cried for his loss. Not that he displeased the Heavenly Father. There was no place found for repentance, though he sought it bitterly with tears. He had the sorrow of this world. We'll continue here with Paul in 2 Corinthians, his letter to the Corinthians. He says, behold, this selfsame thing, that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. What carefulness it wrought in you? Yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, oh, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Of course, Paul perhaps talking about a specific matter, a specific sin that cropped up in the congregation, and they repented, and look what he says. You sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought. How careful are you about your life and the things you engage in and the yokes that you yoke yourself in, the things that you teach your children, that you allow your children to be taught by pagans in the public fool system because you don't have time, because you're pursuing mammon. Or because the wife wants that free time for herself. Oh, that's my time to clean the house. And, you know, that's my time to go out shopping and do the things that I do. And after all, isn't the state offering me free babysitting service? And I don't want to be bothered with my children. I need my free time. God gave you those children. Repent. Bring them home. Stop being selfish. What carefulness. Are you careful? How careful are you? Are you careful with your children? You sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you. Yes, you need to be careful about everything in your life. You need to be careful about every decision you make for your children, for your household. You need to be careful. We need to be careful. We've been careless. Oh, we just go along. Oh, they said I had to do this, so I did it without a sign on the dotted line. They said that I have to send my children to kindergarten. Oh, preschool. All right, they're teaching them homosexuality, but I'll tell them it's wrong when they get home. Maybe, if I know. But you know what? I take my children to church and, you know, they can undo it there. They go to the youth group. So we go to church every Sunday and, so, you know what, that'll take care of it. You know, we'll teach them right. Careful. What carefulness. You're being careless with the lives that God has given you. He commanded you to teach your children, not to turn them over to pagans, not to turn them over to an idolatrous public system run by pagans, to teach them homosexuality. And then in the church, in the corporate church, what do they teach them? Well, you must obey the state. The law of God was nailed to the cross. Now your new lawgiver is the state of whatever state, California. Adultery is legal. Homosexuality is A-okay. You can kill your child before it's born. You can practice birth control and abortion and anything you can get away with. Ah, so the church really can't counteract it. Be careful. What have you learned? Paul says, for behold, the selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort. You know what? How many people are sorrowing after a godly sort? It says, what carefulness it wrought in you. But you're careless. If you're sending your children to public school system, if you're signing up for this and that benefits from the state and becoming unequally yoked with unbelievers, casting in your lot with them, having one purse with them, you're being careless. You're not being careful at all. You're just going along with the world. You are in the world and you are of it. You've got their identifications all over the place that identifies you as one of theirs. You are a resident, a thing identified of the state of whatever state you're in. And what a state it is. Careful. Sorrowed after godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you. What clearing of yourselves. You know, that's part of the coming out part. You know, we clear ourselves by coming out. We repent and we have that work of repentance, worketh repentance going on. That clears us. Yes. What indignation. I'm indignant about the things and the entanglements of the world. What indignation. I'm indignant about having children taught homosexuality. I'm indignant about the abortion, and I am not going to fund it. I am not going to cast in my lot with them and have one purse with them. I'm indignant about the things that they're doing with the 92% of the profits from the insurance companies and what they're... I'm indignant about McDonald's and what they're supporting. I'm indignant about Disney and their support of homosexuality. I'm indignant about these things. I will not contribute. I'm indignant about the federal government supporting and paying for abortion in other countries. I'm indignant about the slaughter and the murder of the Iraqi people. I'm indignant about all these things and so many more. What indignation. Yea, what fear. I fear what will happen if I do not conform my life, have my life transformed into the image of the only begotten Son of God. What fear? I fear what will happen to me. I fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. Yea, what vehement desire. I desire to be transformed. I desire the things of God. I desire that you are transformed, that you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I desire to continue to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. I desire to continue to be transformed into the image of the only begotten Son of God. I desire to have his law written on my heart that I might not sin against him. I desire to live my life in a way that's pleasing to him. I desire to be his man and for him to be my God. What vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. I am zealous to accomplish all of these things for his name's sake. I am zealous to bring as many people into his kingdom as possible. Yea, what revenge. What revenge? Oh, vindication, retribution, punishment. They punished. What revenge. And how politically incorrect. You know, we read the story in the scripture about, Haman being hung on his own gallows. What revenge! Wonderful. What revenge! And we read the stories about how people are punished by God, even by death. And we think, what revenge? What retribution? Yes, they deserved it. And we'll have to discuss this a little bit more. What revenge? This may get a little politically incorrect for you. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.